You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning, Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. The on Wednesday, my father passed away. So today you're gonna hear an interview that I did with him, and I'll probably play a second one tomorrow. That I did with him, I want to say it's in October of 2006, the one you'll hear today. And I think I had just gotten back from Iraq, my second deployment to Iraq. And so he came on the show to talk about the baseball playoff. And in the interview, we don't have the best phone connection, and that becomes an issue during the phone conversation. So you'll hear that. So my dad, 88 years old, and you know, born and raised in Sacramento, California, and he's a baseball player. And that's what he did his whole life. He started managing in the minor leagues as a way to make some extra money in the late 50s. Yeah, he's 26 years old, I think, when he started managing in the minor leagues. So he was born in 32, so probably around 1958. He's a player manager in Lewiston, Idaho. And that begins a career that will take him to the major leagues as a manager at a very young age. And so our family, when I was a little guy, we would get out of school in Sacramento, California. He would leave in February, and which was always traumatic for me. Like I've talked to you about what it's, my history of saying goodbye when I go to Iraq and Afghanistan is not a good one. And I learned how to mitigate against that. Well, that all starts by saying goodbye to my dad. And, you know, when I was a little kid, and I hated it, and every year he would leave around February, and we would not see him again until the middle of June, till school got out, and we went wherever he was, which was how I grew up. And then we would be, whether it was Lewiston, Idaho, or Dallas, Texas, or Mobile, Alabama, or Birmingham, Alabama, or Binghamton, New York, my mom would pile us all into the car when we would get out of school in the middle of June. And we would drive across country. Yeah, fighting out, me and my sisters fighting it out the whole way in the backyard, in the back seat of the car. And so we'd go. And then we'd spend the summer there. And for me, as a little kid, I could tag along with my dad sometimes. And it wasn't until I was, I don't know, maybe 10 years old that my mom would let me go early to the stadium with him, to the ballparks with him. And so my fondest memories are in when he managed in the Southern League for the then Kansas City A's that would later become the Oakland A's. But I used to get to go to the stadium with him. Yeah, my mom ever wanted to modify my behavior, she would just look at me and say, "You're not going to go with your dad." And I would just freeze. Right, I would immediately correct myself because, you know, I'd get to go to the stadium with him, and then he'd go do his thing, and I'd grab a glove and I'd put on my cleats, right, and I would go, you know, they'd be having batting practice, so I would go. I wasn't allowed to be in the infield. Yeah, I had to go hang out in the outfield. So I'd go try to catch fly balls and whatnot. But I mean, you can imagine for a little kid, I mean, what a fun experience. And then he would let me sit in the dugout. You know, I had to mind my business and I sat in the, you know, I didn't bother him. I sat in the corner and I just watched. And then the game would end and I would wait for him and we'd ride home and we'd talk about the game. You know, well, why'd you do this? And what about this? And that was kind of a lifelong ritual for us. And we would do that all summer. He'd be gone for half the summer. So my sisters and I would find ways to entertain ourselves. Fishing in Alabama. Yep. Using bread and cheese as bait, as I recall. And, you know, we'd meet other kids and play and whatnot. And then at the end of August, we'd pack up and we'd go home. And then he would stay, you know, and finish out the season. And then normally he would have to go at the end of the year. They had meetings that he would go to. And then as he became more successful, there's a thing called the Instructional League in Arizona. He would go to that. And that would be about, I don't know, anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks from the middle of October, you know, to the end of, to Thanksgiving, I think. So it ran about 6 weeks. Or the start of October till the middle of November. And he'd be gone for about another 6 or 7 weeks then. So my dad was, I mean, he's gone a lot when I was a kid. And so, but that's the way I grew up. And he got to the big leagues in 1968. And Joe DiMaggio was a coach for 1 year in Major League Baseball. And that year was 1968. And the team was the Oakland A's. And that's who my dad was a coach with. And so, you know, my dad's locker was a locker away from Joe DiMaggio's, if you can imagine that. So going to work with my dad as a little kid, 1968, I would have been 11. Here's Joe DiMaggio. No shit, Mr. Coffee. And so so as a little kid, you know, it was, it was this magical experience where, you know, you got to hang around baseball players and all of that. And my dad was good at what he did. He manages, I think he tied a record for the most teams ever managed by one person. I think he shares it with Dick Williams, a contemporary of his, but he was hired 6 different times to manage teams. So the question was, was that a tribute to his ability to be hired or his ability to be fired? And he said, no. You don't get hired 6 times if you're not good at something. And so anyway, so he started in as the manager of the Oakland A's. He left the A's. He went to be a coach for the Giants. He leaves the Giants to go manage the Padres. He gets fired in San Diego by Ray Kroc, the head of McDonald's. He went to be a coach for the California Angels. He left the Angels to go manage the Cincinnati Reds after Sparky Anderson got fired. And he leaves Cincinnati. He ultimately gets fired in Cincinnati. And he goes back, and I think he, after that, he manages the Angels. And so he manages California Angel, and then he becomes the manager of the Boston Red Sox. And he goes to the World Series with the Red Sox and becomes part of baseball history as the Red Sox are they're ahead 5-3 with two outs in the ninth inning. And they lose in a game that is infamous now in baseball history. A ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs. And that game is now part of baseball history. They then lose the seventh game. And the Red Sox, who were so close in 1986, the quote unquote curse continued. So he gets fired in Boston, and then he goes, and the last time he goes to manage in Cleveland, and so he manages the Cleveland Indians, and then he gets fired there after a few years, and he winds up working in the minor leagues for the California Angels. At the time, my roommate from college was the general manager of the Angels, Bill Bavese. Bill's dad, Buzzy, had hired my dad in San Diego. And so in the middle of the year, towards the end of the year, their manager resigned. Marcel Lachman resigned. And so I think my dad managed the Angels for the last couple months, maybe the last month and a half of the baseball season. That year was 1996, and that was the last time he managed. And then he was a minor league instructor and kind of scout for the Angels for a while. And so I had a professional career in baseball that spanned I think 49 years. And that's what my dad was. My dad was a baseball guy. And so I want to play this interview. And like I said, it's done. And I had just gotten back from Iraq in October of 2006. And like I said, it's us talking baseball, and it's us trying to fight through and bickering over where the problem is in the phone connection in the interview. So this is my dad in an interview that we did in 2006. So good morning to you. Well, let me do this. I will open the program. United States Marine Corps Band makes this Thursday morning official. You'll hear the interview from my dad as we get going, and then you'll Lynch, Kenny, and Costantini join me. And one of the things we talk about at the start is how do you handle death? You know, we've done a fair amount of it in our lives. Both professionally and then personally. And I think you'll find that interesting. Will's wife passed away 15 months ago. And so so you'll hear that today as well in the second hour. So good morning to you on this Thursday. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. dedicated to my father on his passing. And I don't know that there's anything else anybody needs to say.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
To the weather we go here on a Thursday. Currently, it is partly cloudy in 87 in Quantico. It is partly cloudy in 83 down the coast of Camp Lejeune. It is sunny in 93 already out in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dawn breaking, cloudy in 72. In Okinawa, dark cloudy in 84. In Afghanistan, south central type, it is clear dark in 98, and in Iraq, where it's been hot, it is sunny and 115 right now, late in the afternoon, early evening. So that is a look at your weather here at the home of All Marine Radio in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California. It is cloudy and 64, looking for a high today of 81, revised upwards. 83 tomorrow, 83 on Saturday, 80 on Sunday, and 78 on Monday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and you'll hear an interview I did with my father in October of 2006. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, the interview you're going to hear is was recorded 14 years ago, and I used to bring my dad on to the show during baseball season, so that people who listen could, you know, listen to him talk about the thing that he loved, which was the game of baseball. I mean, more than anything else, my dad was a baseball guy. And he loved it. He loved the competition. He loved the camaraderie of the teams that he was on. And that was always kind of a holy place for him. And so the... I'm trying to think I should the way I should play this. If I play it that way, I can't pause it. And I might need to pause it a couple times just because there's funny stuff that happens that I might need to explain. All right, so without further ado, this is my father. Now, this is the idea of the radio station, KNOX in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
When news happens, we'll have it first and guaranteed accurate. Talk Radio 1310 KNOX.
Now, I haven't heard that idea in so long, right? I have to tell you a quick story about it. A funny story. On Christmas Eve, our church, St. Mike's, had a community celebration. And it would anybody who didn't have a place to go for Christmas dinner, they had a huge, you know, celebration. And it didn't matter what faith you were. It didn't. None of that mattered. It was just come and celebrate Christmas. And so they would, you know, we would volunteer. Our whole family volunteered. And this year, one year, our job was to go pick people. It was first to deliver meals, and then when the meals got those, all the meals that they were that for people that had signed up to receive meals got delivered. Then our next job was to go pick up people and bring them to the hall, and that we're going to eat Christmas dinner there. So Patrick, my number two son and I. And I think Colleen was with us. So there was three of us in one car, and then there was three of us in another car. So it was my ex-wife, Susan, and then my son, John, and my oldest daughter, Catherine, were in the other car. So, and Colleen might have been with them, because I don't remember her. Well, I do remember her being with us. But anyway, Colleen was in the area someplace. But Colleen's, she's a little kid. And so we go to a development home, and we were supposed to pick up, and we had like a Suburban. So we were going to pick up, I don't know, six people or so, everybody that we could stuff in there. And so I think there was about six of them. So we head over there, and you know, we open up, and everybody hops in. Now, and I'll tell you, people with developmental disabilities, they listen to the radio back in the day, right? Before everybody had so much access to TV and stuff like that. So, so they knew my voice. So they get in the car, and I said, okay, everybody ready? And somebody says, hey, you're Mac Talk. And I said, what? And he said, you're Mac Talk, man. And I said, I am? He says, yes, you're Mac Talk, man. And with that, they also said, that's Mac Talk. Patrick's sitting there, and he starts laughing. And the guy behind me starts singing that ID, Talk Radio 1310 KNOX. And he sings that the whole way that we drive to the church. And Patrick looks at me, and he says, make him stop. I said, I can't, right? And just enjoy it. So when I was looking for interviews that I've done with my dad, when I heard that, I hadn't heard that ID in forever. But it made me laugh, right? Just the memories that it brings back of Christmas, of taking people to to Christmas dinner, and just the funny experiences that you have. So, this is the interview with my father.
KNOX 1016 here on Talk Radio 1310 KNOX.
Good Monday, good Wednesday morning to you. My dad joins us now. Dad, first of all, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. So, Johnny, let me ask you a couple questions here.
Get close.
All right. I never call him Johnny. Okay, that's not. One of his good friends calls him Johnny, and so me goofing with him.
Through the phone, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Come on. Are you serious?
I can't.
And there's nothing I can do. I can't turn your volume up in your phone. How bad is it?
Well, talk louder then.
I can't talk. If I talk louder, then I'll blow out the microphone here. Where are the dogs today? Are the dogs inside or the dogs outside?
My family is right here around me.
Your family? Yeah. What is that? Okay, so there's
a secondary family now.
I am? Unbelievable. All right, Dad, on that note. Now, you watched all the baseball games yesterday, right?
Yep.
All right, what'd you think of Twins got a big game coming up today with a young guy pitching, but
Now, just know this. It's this radio show takes place in North Dakota, right on the North Dakota-Minnesota border. So everybody's a Twins fan. So we're going to talk Twins, Minnesota Twins baseball, just so you know.
Today's game, 3-2 loss to the Oakland Athletics. Pretty good pitch ball game by both guys, huh?
Well, it was, and that's what that's what this series is all about. It's about pitching. And, the only team that has any firepower in their lineup in the playoffs in the American League is the Yankees. Because they can go 1-9, and they'll throw somebody up there that can hit.
Every guy.
But the other teams, Oakland has had trouble scoring runs, and And the Twins, to a point, have trouble scoring runs. And who the hell is the other team?
Detroit. The Tigers.
And the Twins and who?
The Tigers.
Oh, well, yeah, the Tigers have trouble scoring runs, too.
All right, so when in a short series like this, and you were involved in a number of them, you lose the first game with your ace. You go in the clubhouse the next day, and any difference? Bottom line, it's a huge ball game for the Minnesota Twins. Do you say anything different? Do you do anything different? Or it's a long season, these guys know what they're doing, you just let them play. How do you approach a game like today if you're Ron Gardenhire?
Well, they don't... They don't have to be told anything. They know what the fate is. You lose three and you go home. But today is a pivotal game in all three of those series. I mean, all two of those series. You go down 2-0 in a three-game series. It's very difficult to come back from because you're going to see the other team's ace again in that third game or fourth game. And if it goes to five, you definitely will.
So bottom line, no difference in approach. You don't need to say anything. These guys are professionals. You just go in and try to help everybody relax and go out and play.
That's correct.
All right. Do you think too much? I mean, because the bottom line is, given all the media hoopla and everybody else that shows up, there's enough pressure in the playoffs. Is that the trick, just trying to get guys to relax and insulate them a little bit?
Well, true, and, you know, it depends on the makeup of your ball club. If there's anybody in the clubhouse that can take that role, that's a big help. You know, as far as getting people to laugh and have a good time, and you know, and then when you get ready for that first pitch, all right, here we go, we got to bear down.
All right, I want to ask you about Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas hit two home runs, almost hit a third one yesterday. Does somebody need to throw up an in on him and back him off the plate? Or does that make any difference? What would you do if you were the pitching coach of the Minnesota Twins? Any special instructions with Frank Howard?
No,
I mean, Frank Howard, and Frank Thomas.
Being age in baseball is over with.
Of throwing up an in on guys?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, they try to pitch inside, you know, and the only effective pitch inside is if you're going to make the guy move his feet.
And how do you make him? By throwing at his feet?
No, you throw at his hip or his legs.
But not above his belt?
I can't hear you.
But not above his belt?
No.
Okay. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just, we got a bad phone connection. Oh, hey, I'll tell you what, let me hang up and I'll call you right back.
All right,
I'll call you right back. We're talking baseball with my dad. We've got a bad phone connection, evidently. And before he gets any grouchier and yells at me, we're going to take a quick break. Dad, I want to continue. I said Frank Howard. It's Frank Thomas. I want to talk about Frank Thomas. Does Oakland have the lineup that you could pitch around that guy? I got an email.
Definitely.
Why not walk him the second time there was a base open? But does Oakland have a lineup that's conducive to pitching around Frank Thomas?
Yes, I believe so. Their run production this year has not been that great. They, you know, maybe they do have some guys that hit a few home runs, but not like Thomas has in one swing of the bat. And you're in trouble.
All right. It's interesting. You watch guys go to the mound, and we were on the phone last night when Joe Torre went to the mound, but I don't want to get into that yet. But what do you say to a pitcher when you tell him to pitch around the guy? You walk out there, right? And if you're Sparky Anderson, you don't step on any of the chalk lines, and people think you're really smart when you don't do that. But what do you tell?
Let me tell you the backstory to that. Sparky Anderson would go to the mound, and everybody thought, you know, everybody used to say that Sparky was a genius. And my dad said, right, when he managed Cincinnati, the smartest thing Sparky did was write all those names on the lineup card, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, Pete Rose. He said, that's what makes you a genius. But Sparky, when he would go to the mound, right, he'd have his head down like he was in deep thought, and then he would very deliberately not step on the white chalk line. And people used to make comments about how smart he was. And that just used to irritate my dad. Like, oh, that's really smart, not stepping on the chalk lines. So anyway.
Do you tell the pitcher? How do you pitch around the guy? Did you either pitch to him or walk him?
No, I never, you know, don't give this guy a good ball to hit. Well, that's, to me, that's crap. If you don't want to, you're going to put him on, put him on. You take the responsibility. Don't leave it up to the pitcher to try and nibble here, nibble there, and you know, they want to throw strikes, and you don't do that. If you're going to walk a guy, walk him, and not go out and throw the burden of responsibility on the pitcher.
All right, so if you had a base open today, would you make somebody else beat you other than Frank Thomas?
Well, of course, it all depends on, you know, what the score of the ball game is. Yeah, they, you know, they've walked pool holes and with nobody on.
Right.
And,
Barry
you
Bonds.
Know, that's a gamble that you take, but if that's what you think is right and what should be done at that proper time, you do it.
Okay. The number here, if we're talking Twins baseball. We got Twins baseball today at 11 o'clock. It's a pregame. And the first pitch is about, I want to say, 12:07. My guest this morning is my father, former Major League Baseball manager, Johnny McImer. And we're talking.
Johnny McImer. My dad had a friend by the name of John Barzano. John Barzano owned a bar in Chicago, or Chicago, as John would say. And it's called the Plainview Inn. It was near O'Hare Airport. And he was a good friend of my father. And he he used to call, that's what he called my dad, Johnny McImer. So when you hear me say Johnny McImer, and you hear my dad laugh, that is what a very good friend of his used to, how he would say his name.
Baseball with him. Dad, last night, a huge performance by Derek Jeter of the Yankees. 5 for 5, hits a home run. What is it about certain guys that allow them to play like that in the postseason? Is there anything you can put your finger on, you know, with a guy like that?
No, not really. This type of player just rises to the occasion. And whether that's inbred, inborn, whatever, but he can definitely play when the chips are on the table, and you know, the other players, maybe not quite as talented, but can't. They put too much heat on themselves. They put too much pressure on themselves.
Now, I mean, Jeter's done it since he was a young guy. I mean, they were throwing up his stats from last night, and I want to say in 140 playoff games or something like that, he's been on base 130 of the games. Mm-hmm. And his batting average in the postseason is higher, you know, much higher than his regular season average. And yet there's so much more pressure. It seems like, I don't know, it's a special characteristic when all the intensity, especially playing in New York, all the pressure that gets loaded on a guy like that, and for whatever reason, he finds a calm place and all that to go up there and hit, which is not easy.
Well, he has evidently that mentality and personality that those things don't bother him. You know, not in the least bit. He just goes up and stays within himself and does his job, the thing that he can do best. You know, what causes that, what makes a player, and it's in any walk of life, what makes a guy, you know, special in those occasions, it's the inward makeup of the individual.
All right. Now, if you were a betting man, which you're not, Twins are playing at home. they have a young pitcher named Loaiza that's who's going for the A's, and then a guy named Bonser going for the Twins. Bonser had a great September, and I believe was a player of the month or pitcher of the month in September. You seen enough of either one of those teams to tell me who you like in today's game?
No, I really haven't. Like I said, Mike told you, I wasn't that much into the baseball season. I knew who won. If a ball game was on, I watched it. If it wasn't, I didn't. I know who won and lost on a daily basis, but my thoughts were somewhere else.
And my where? On me?
Yeah.
My dad used to say the rosary religiously for me. Yeah. We had an interesting discussion when I told him, I'm not sure that really helps. He got pissed at me. And he said, why would you say that? You know, and I said, well, I mean, I've seen guys that are very, you know, are church-going guys and pray all the time, and they've gotten killed. And I've seen guys who are the biggest scumbags on the world that, you know, something explodes or something happens, and they sure as hell should be dead, but they don't die. And so I don't think that the prayers steer the metal when something explodes. Oh, you know, why would you? You know, he got pissed at me.
Well, isn't that nice? Well, that's nice. Well, what do you think of your buddy Tommy Lasorda being on all the commercials?
It's a good place for him. He can talk. You know, he can sell himself, and he has that kind of personality that go on television and do that stuff. I could never do it.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't want you to do that. I heard
the my dad's friends in Major League Baseball, Tommy Lasorda, one of them, and Billy Martin, another one. But they were all kind of the same kind of guys. They were born in the Depression. And my dad's father passed away when he was 13. Billy Martin, you know, I don't know if, you know, his dad was around when he grew up. He was raised in the Oakland, California area by his mom. Tommy was sort of the same way. And these guys were minor league players. Martin had the most success of any of them. But they were, you know, and then they learned to manage because they had some leadership qualities. But let me tell you, they were tough. They were tough guys, and they were fighters in terms of if you, and again tagging around with my dad when I was a kid, I got a chance to meet these guys, and they were self-made guys, and their business was baseball, and they didn't screw around with it. You know, they were dead serious about it, and so Tommy Lasorda is one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet in your life. But as my dad said, he could market it himself and whatnot, but my dad, not so much. He did a couple commercials, and I mentioned one here for a car wash in Cincinnati. They were god awful.
Commercials that you did that for that car wash in Cincinnati? That was not good radio.
And I don't remember that.
Well, that's a good thing. Selective.
Probably yep. Wasn't.
There was one other question I was going to ask you. About the playoffs. Tell me about in a five game series. How do you? Where does your number one pitcher pitch? Zito and Santana would pitch yesterday. They have today off. They'll have an off day on Friday. There's games Saturday and Sunday, and then they come back. Does Santana pitch Sunday? If the Sunday's the ultimately the third game. Or do you hold him and you pitch him, hoping for a fifth game back in Minneapolis?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Never heard a word you said.
Explain how the pitching works in a five game series. Santana and Zito started yesterday. If
you're still drawing a blank,
you can't hear me.
What?
You can't hear me?
Oh.
All right. I'm done with you then.
I can hear you talking, but I don't know what you're saying.
What do you mean you could hear me talking, but you don't know what I'm saying?
What?
You got to be kidding me.
This is getting comical.
No, and it's bad comedy, which is the worst part of the whole thing.
So what was that other line you were on?
No, it was somebody. This is a talk show. People call in. You remember what I do for a living? That's what we're doing right now.
No kidding.
Now, explain to me the starting pitching, all right?
Explain to you the what?
The starting pitching.
Yeah.
Okay. Zito and Santana would pitch in game one. In a five-game series, do you bring Santana back? Let me just give you the scenario. The Twins win today. Oakland wins game three. The Twins face elimination in game four. Do you bring Santana back on 3 days rest and let him pitch game four? Or do you hold him out and hope you can win game four and let him pitch game five?
Well, you know, that's something that, you know, I can't answer. That's for the manager to answer because I don't know how strong Santana is. You know, what his makeup is or whatever. There again, it depends on the individuals and knowing your players.
Santana, 245 strikeouts this year.
Well, he's a good pitcher, no question.
All right.
He's had a good year.
All right, but you're saying it depends on his makeup, and when you say makeup, you mean his mental makeup. Can he come back on 3 days rest and not have that in his head?
Right, his physical makeup, is he going to be bothered with only 3 days rest? Does it get into his mind or his psyche or whatever? So, that's knowing your players in those kind of situations.
All right, Dad, we have a question for you. I may have to translate this, but we're going to try it again. Good morning. You're on Talk Radio 1310 KNOX.
Hi. I was wondering, would the high pitch count Santana had, would that potentially delay him from his next start?
Dad, what do you think? High pitch count in the playoffs? Did you hear the question, Dad?
Come again.
Okay. Did the high pitch count? Are you on one of those wireless phones again?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Then something else is wrong.
You could tell this thing's coming to a head. This thing's coming to a head.
High pitch count? Does that mean anything in the playoffs? Santana had a high pitch count yesterday. Would that factor into your decision? Because I've heard you say in the past you got all winter to heal up. Does that apply to pitchers?
You know what? I may as well be talking to some Italian.
Oh, my God. What do you got against Italians?
What the hell would he say? I have cousins that are half Italian. Like, what's wrong? What's he got against Italians? What the hell?
What?
What do you have against Italians?
I don't have anything against them. I love them.
All right.
My next door neighbor growing up was Italian.
All right.
Probably my best friend outside of my family, Joe Malfitano, is Italian.
Okay, here's the question. Does a high pitch count make any difference on bringing Santana back in the playoffs?
Well, I don't know. I'd go to the store.
What are you talking? You'd go to the store?
Well, I don't know what you're saying, so how the hell can I answer you?
What do you mean? You can't understand me?
I can't hear you.
Oh, my God. All right, look.
All right, I heard that.
Listen to me now, all right? Pay attention.
I'm listening. I got the ears close to my ear, my phone close to my ear as I can.
Okay, now.
Hey, now I can hear you.
Hang with me. Does a high pitch count mean anything in the playoffs? Santana threw a lot of pitches the other day. In terms of bringing him back, is that a factor in your decision? Or do you say, like I've heard you say in the past, you got all winter to heal up? Does a high pitch count, where do you factor that in?
Well, again, it depends on the makeup of the pitcher. Is he capable of doing that? And 3 days rest, well, that's when you'd be No, tomorrow he'd be thrown on the side, but you just take that away from him and have him ready to go the following day.
Okay, so while that would be a factor, bottom line is you got all winter to heal up, and it's time for men to be men.
Right.
Oh, but now how could you hear that all of a sudden?
What?
How could you hear that all of a sudden?
Well, I can hear you, for God's sake, whatever you're doing.
What did you do? Did you just dump some Lourdes water on a telephone or something like that?
No.
Unbelievable. This might be the worst piece of radio I've ever done, and I've done some bad radio in my time.
I don't doubt that.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Dad, I was going to say it's nice to have you on the program, but I got to tell you, with that one, as you're going out the door, not making me happy. So anyway, hey, look, I will let you, what time are you going to church this morning?
Mass comes on 11 o'clock.
All right. Well, behave yourself today, and I don't know what's wrong with your phone. But we've never had this problem in the past, and I don't think it's our equipment. We don't have a problem with anybody else, but we got a problem with you.
Well, how come now I can hear you?
Please? I don't know. I think you're going senile.
Going senile?
Yeah, I think you're coming in and out of lucidity. Is there a bright light coming towards you?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, then you're safe. All right, Dad. Hey, look, thanks for the visit.
I feel bad for you and your audience that, we had this poor connection.
Well, yeah, they had to listen to it.
They didn't hear much.
Well, that's exactly my point. It was brutal. Here I bill you as a big, famous star, and you come on and you can't even, I can't even hear you. Right,
well,
Dad.
If you can't hear, you can't answer.
I agree with you. I agree. That's why we're going to end this thing. Look, you have a nice day. Good luck at church. And
fix that damn machine.
Hey, what was... Anyway, we have to take a break. This is unbelievable. More Mac Talk next.
The and that was going on over the public airways, so... that's why that ended abruptly the way it did. I have another one about Christmas. I have another one. I think I was getting ready to go to Iraq, so it was like in December of 2005 that I'll probably play tomorrow. But no, my father passed away on Wednesday, and so God bless him. God rest his soul. We'll check a few news headlines coming up next right here on a Thursday edition of Allmarine Radio. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
I'm good, but I have a story. And I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good. but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Oh, hold on. I should probably play Frank Sinatra in honor of today. The songs that played in my house growing up.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Like painted. All right, we'll check some news headlines today. In a story that we'll talk about. Yesterday, the Secretary of Defense announced that, you know, a significant number of American troops would be leaving Germany. Today's top of the fold headline in Stars and Stripes is what it will take to move 12,000 troops from Germany. Closures, time, and lots of money. The second story, farewell to armor. Kind of a play on words, right? The movie and book Farewell to Arms, right? Kind of a play on that. Farewell to Armor. Marine Corps shuts down tank units, hauls away its M1A1s. So a story chronicling the deactivation of the storied first and second tank battalions of the United States Marine Corps as Marine Corps transitions to become something in the future. So those are the top stories in Stars and Stripes. One other one. North Korea fired a missile from a ship on July 6th, according to the South Korean military. It fired a missile from the waters off the eastern coast earlier this month as part of a routine naval exercise. So anyway, continue to monitor like North Korea's development of their ability to shoot ballistic missiles from different platforms. So that is why that story is of interest. And then breaking news this morning in a story that will reverberate, no doubt, through the news. Herman Cain passed away at the age of 74, former presidential candidate, CEO of Godfather's Pizza, and prominent Republican. And he was diagnosed with COVID-19 after attending the rally that was held by the president in Oklahoma City. Now, not sure if that was the source of him contracting the virus, but you can bet your ass this, that will be much made of this, the recklessness of President Trump killed Herman Cain. So, but he passed away. At least the announcement was made here a little bit ago. So that in the news this morning. Headlines in the Wall Street Journal. U.S. economy posts a record turndown. The U.S. economy contracted at a record 32.9 annual rate last quarter, and weekly jobless claims rose 1.43 million amid signs of a slowing recovery. Similarly, another story, Germany's economy suffers its biggest contraction on record. A host of recent indicators suggest that Germany's economy is staging a sharp V recovery. So interesting. Germany suffered record economic contraction in the second quarter as measures to slow the pandemic spread closed businesses and kept consumers at home. But Europe's powerhouse is nonetheless expected to shrink by less and recover faster than other major economies. Germany's gross domestic product fell 10.1% compared with the previous quarter, the largest decline since comparable records began in 1970. Roughly double its contraction that it experienced in the global financial crisis of 2009. So you see, you know, the major economies of Europe, France, Italy, and Germany, all doing the same thing, but the difference is Germany is pulling out of it in. As the article says, in somewhat of a V shape, where the United States, France, and Italy continue to head south. So that in the news, the Wall Street Journal talks about Herman Cain passing away. Another headline that's making news from the president's Twitter account. Trump floats election date delay, but only Congress can change that date. So the Twitter account, right, sucking the air out of the room again. Yesterday, the heads of big technology testified on Capitol Hill. Headline, Republicans and Democrats find a point of agreement. Right, which that headline alone would catch your attention, right? : big tech is too powerful. If the partisans of America's elected leadership seem to agree on almost nothing these days, Wednesday's big tech antitrust hearing was stark evidence that they do share one common target, and that is big technology. So that in the news. And then space race, mission to Mars. The United States and China in a race to get to Mars the quickest. USNI News. Again, we continue to look for stories about the Bonhomme Richard and the aftermath of that. The latest story there, though, is a Chinese big deck amphibious ship. Looks a lot like the Bonhomme Richard is preparing for its sea trial. So that in the news. Marine Corps Times, top headline there is really the same. And other than a story about a COVID-19 positive Marine assigned to the president's helicopter squadron is quarantined and recovering. So I don't know. Maybe it's that anything that has to do with COVID is news, no matter how minuscule, right? And, I mean, COVID linked to the word Trump, I guess, gets you at the top of the fold. So that in the news today. Top five stories in Early Bird. One, thousands of troops are coming home from Germany. Some of them could be going right back. So, again, this is a story from yesterday, and it elaborates on the remarks Secretary Esper said about a review that had been ongoing and primarily aimed at the force review in Europe relative to threats from Russia, major power threats, right? Threats from Russia, threats from China. And so yesterday he announced that headquarters elements and U.S. Army units will be moving out of Germany. So pretty interesting, and we talk about that here coming up. Number two, Trump says he didn't raise the issue of bounties on U.S. troops during a phone call with Putin. Um, In a new interview, President Donald Trump said he did not raise the issue of Russia paying bounties on U.S. troops in Afghanistan during a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin last week because the intelligence behind the claim is suspect and he doesn't believe Russia wants to get involved in the region. So, you know, and there's a lot of people, and I would be one of them, that say, you know, his behavior relative to Vladimir Putin is odd. But in this case, when your own intelligence organizations don't agree on something, I think it's hardly the thing that you probably bring up to another head of state. Just my thought. Number three, Army says Fort Hood meets its harassment standards, but review didn't include Vanessa Guillen's death. Vanessa Guillen disappeared on April 22nd. She had made allegations of sexual harassment. The man who abducted and then killed her then committed suicide. And so all aspects of that case are being looked at very, very closely. And that's what that article chronicles. Number four, new Pentagon training refers to protesters, journalists as adversaries. Yeah, that in the news. That's not going to win anybody any friends. Number five, nuclear official says warhead modernization program is on track despite COVID and GAO concern. Our nuclear arsenal has been neglected. And so updating that has become a priority. So in terms of just keeping the nuclear triad efficient and also, you know, servicing some things that got neglected while we fought wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny, and Will Costantini join me. And it's an interesting version. We recorded it last night of All Marine Radio. And the first thing we talk about is death. You know, how do you handle it? And I think you'll find it interesting. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.